Recently, musician, actor, and author John Doe performed a concert in Colorado Springs to a sold-out crowd at the Western Jubilee. You may not be familiar with the punk rock group X, but you might just recognize John Doe from his numerous film and television appearances in Boogie Nights, Wyatt Earp, Roadside Prophets, Great Balls of Fire, CSI Miami, and Law & Order, to name just a few. John Doe started his career with partner Exene Cervenka in the legendary LA punk group X, which led the pack of West Coast punk in the 70s and 80s. In this segment of Aircheck, 91.5 KRCC's Vicky Greger talks with John Doe about his book, Under the Big Black Sun, A Personal History of LA Punk, and gets him to play a couple songs from his latest album, The Westerner. Here's John Doe in studio at 91.5 KRCC.
Okay. My name's John Doe, and this song is called Sweet Reward. He was freshly shorn, and the moon was weak, and an empty street stretched out before him. He was 39 on December 10th, with a birthday 2 weeks away. The train went clickety-clickety beneath his feet, and his clothes didn't fit so good anymore. He could see his breath as he rode between the coach and the dining car. Home seemed so far away, but he got there in less than half a day. He knew the world had kept spinning all the time he was gone, but he couldn't say how to change. She talked to him quietly, looked him in the eye and said, "You can stay as long as you like." He smiled a little smile when she opened the window and let a little breeze inside. He split two cords of wood and he painted the fence, and he ate good food every day. She got him a job fixing cars for her uncle. He liked getting dirty, then getting clean. And when he laid down at night and held to her hand, he thought, "This is my sweet reward. This is my sweet relief. This is what I waited for. This is what I've been praying for."
Hi, this is Vicky Greger, and I'm in the studio today with musician and author of Under the Big Black Sun, A Personal History of L.A. Punk, Mr. John Doe, hanging out today. Thank you so much for being here, John. I think this is my favorite day I've ever had.
Oh, come
on.
Or
right up there.
That's good.
Maybe the top
five. I'm flattered.
In your, opinion, what differentiated L.A. punk from what was happening, in New York and the U.K.?
Horizon and automobiles. That's the short answer. There's a different light and there's a different distance. Like, you can appreciate that in Colorado. You know, you can see 75 to 100 miles, and you can in L.A. as well. And you can't in New York or London. It's more closed in. And they were coming from either like the poverty of London or the art scene of New York, and in L.A., I think it was a little bit of a younger, less serious kind of teenager,
kids just going wild, and the fact that people could have cars and that has a certain amount of freedom. And, you know, I think beer was our drug of choice. You know, it wasn't heroin or speed. Well, there was that too, but it wasn't the go-to. I am a hungry wolf, and run
endlessly with my mate. This book was really insightful to presenting an authentic view of the people who live there and to some of the points you're making about, you know, the beach and the horizon, the cars. But just the rewriting of how some of us might say, oh, Hollywood, oh, L.A., it's very this or that. But this is very hometown. I get a very hometown feeling from this.
That's good. That was kind of the plan. I mean, the other books about punk rock have been oral histories. There was Please Don't Kill Me. There was We Got the Neutron Bomb. And that's people calling each other up and saying, hey, I remember this crazy time, blah, 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 blah. And there's not a lot of fact-checking that goes into that. And in this book, I intentionally ask the people, that the other contributors, to write a full chapter so that Los Angeles was a character and it gives you more context about what it was like. And we didn't really realize how naive the whole city and our scene was. I mean, it was very open and young, and you could park anywhere and there wasn't gridlock all the time. And we got a lot of inspiration from the seedy part of LA. And that was going back to, you know, Raymond Chandler or John Fante or Charles Bukowski or, you know, film noir, Hollywood. And we had to fight against that. You know, everyone thought, oh, well, what do you have to complain about? And it's like, well, we're just broke. And we're bohemians like you are, because everyone who didn't live in L.A. Thought that you were immediately given a swimming pool and a Mercedes. But it gave us a good, you know, us versus them. I'm going to fight against the Eagles and Farrah Fawcett and all the, you know, what the public image of L.A. was. Drink at the bar.
There were some bands that you started out with in your scene who went on to have some major mainstream success. And I'm thinking here of people like the Go-Go's or Los Lobos, you know, some East LA stuff. Were you happy to not have that mega, mega fame? And was it hard to watch some of those bands? You know, all the things that can now affect you as a band, where you started from that simple, collaborative, you know, everyone living in a few apartments together you know.
I think we were originally mystified that no one would sign the Go-Go's, because they didn't change radically. They were always very poppy, and even though it had a few more kind of punk rock roots and style, they were always very pop and always... I think people get what they deserve or what they desire, you know. We wanted to be fringe, and that's what we were. I think that even now, you know, we have a certain amount of legacy or something. But, yeah, if we had maybe one or two hit songs, I mean, we have songs that could have been, but we might not have the credibility now. And, you know, we just are celebrating our 40th anniversary. We played... that's a mind blower. We played over 100 shows this year because of that. You know, I got to sing the national anthem at Dodger Stadium, Exene throughout the first pitch.
Oh, wow.
It was like Dodger Day at in Dodger Stadium. It was like, what? This is us. We're a punk rock band. You're honoring a freaking punk rock band at Dodger Stadium. Hello?
I want to talk about the early days of X. The first chapter in this book you wrote, there you are, about a show at the Whiskey Go-Go that was sold out, and you capture so beautifully that feeling of playing with your band and looking around at each one of the players. When you first came together, all of you, and did whatever that was, your first song or working something out, and especially you and Exene singing together, was that a magic moment? Because nothing sounded like that, and the way you and Exene sing together is a gift to this world. It really is. Come on.
I'll tell her.
It is. Please. What was that moment like to, you know, start singing together and be like, wow, that's what we do, huh?
I don't know. I mean, I knew that there was something between Exene and I, you know, not just a romantic thing, but just like a connection early on. I mean, when I first met her, or, you know, as time goes on and we're really lucky to have found each other and are fortunate. And that has maintained. Now we have a kind of sixth sense about if she's going to change phrasing as we're singing, I can pick up on it pretty quickly and go with it. You know, she's going to go a little slower, or go a little faster, cram the words together, or just wait, and I can kind of pick up on that. And the saints of Easter smile.
That's ex-frontman John Doe speaking with Vicki Gregor on 91.5 KRCC's Air Check. Stay tuned. Coming up after the break, more from John Doe. He'll be speaking about his acting career in Hollywood and playing a self-absorbed rock and roller on Law & Order. Plus, we'll hear another song from his new release, The Westerner. This is Air Check from 91.5 KRCC. Stay with us. La, 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 la. From 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, this is Air Check, a show about great music in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jeff Beery.
I'm Vicki Gregor.
And I'm Jake Brownell.
We're going to pick back up with Vicki's interview with John Doe, co-founder of the seminal LA punk band X. Over the course of his 40-year career, John Doe has also dabbled in other aspects of the entertainment industry, including film. Vicki asked him about his time on the silver screen.
Acting. I want to talk to you a little bit about acting. You are a good actor.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I'm going to name a couple of the
My process is very deep. And I'm just all about the work, Vicki. Every time I hear someone talk about the work, I want to hit myself.
That's
in
a little
the face.
Precious, I guess.
Oh, God. But thanks.
You were in the, and I'm going to name some movies I know about, right? Broke Down Palace, Great Balls of Fire. The Good Girl, but the High Holy Mark, Law and Order. I want to know about that.
Well,
Law and Order.
Let
please.
Me say this about that. Funny thing is that they were considering me and David Johansen for that part. It's, you know, all their stories are ripped from the headlines. So it was the story of Great White and that tragic concert that they had where people were killed. So the character is the lead singer, and they're saying, are you responsible for the pyrotechnics and people getting killed? Okay. Did you premeditate that? So they're choosing between David Johansen and myself, and the director, who was a woman, she said, I think it was the producer, she said that the people were deciding on like which guy to choose, and they said, and they pointed towards me and said, let's go with the actor. Because they had no idea who X was. But it was really fun because it was the simplest character sketch, because if you ever had to decide what to do, you just said, I'll be self-absorbed. What do I do in this situation? I'll be an idiot. And I got to wear, you know, eyeliner and fake hair, and it was pretty fun.
And you're in a piece of work that starts with chung, the
chung,
sound.
Chung, chung. And Sam Waterston was really fun and you know, a kind of consummate professional. And he just, you know, just come in and he'd just be himself. And he was pretty great. And I brought one of my daughters along, and she actually works in the movie business now.
You know, you're talking about a daughter. You've got a few daughters, correct? Mm-hmm. Three daughters?
Three, yeah.
You know, your daughters, knowing their parents, you know, their history, hearing the stories from mom and dad. Have they read the book? What do they think of this? This is a pretty cool dad to have. This is a different kind of story than some of us have.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually haven't talked to them about whether they read. I gave them a copy of the book. They should have read it. It was, I could talk about drug use to them as kids. And up until a certain point, I said, well, I have a friend who did this. Of course, it was me. But I know somebody who this happened to them. And you have to be careful of that because I know somebody. And then eventually, when they were like 16 or something, I said, well, actually, that was me. And luckily, I didn't succumb. But, I don't know. I mean, you never really know. We're close. And I'm really fortunate that's the case. But I think as a father, you have to be kind of a jerk to alienate your daughter. I mean, daughters love their dad, right? So you gotta be, you know, pretty bad to push them away.
What do you listen to now, John? You write so many different kinds of songs. You know, music is just, there you are. What do you enjoy listening to? Can you listen to music? Or
oh, yeah. I listen to music all the time. Some soundtracks and just weird stuff. There's a band that we played with quite a bit called Skating Polly. They're young and from Oklahoma City. There's another woman who's getting some good notice, Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
really good.
Just added that record.
Yeah. And there's a guy named Tom Brousseau from L.A. I also listen to a lot of old stuff. A lot of, you know, string band and blues and stuff like that.
Yeah. What did you grow up listening to?
Show tunes. I did, a little bit, and folk music. Leadbelly and all those Woody Guthrie and people like that. That was like for kids. That was, folk music is for kids. You know, who cares if it's a murderer or a political activist? Who cares? That's for kids. This land is your land. You know, it's like they had no idea how subversive that all was. And then I was lucky enough to be around. FM radio was beginning, and in Baltimore we were about 5 years behind the time. So when I lived there as a, you know, like grade school person, they were still playing Chuck Berry on the radio, and James Brown owned a radio station in Baltimore, WEBB. The Web, and they played a lot of James Brown, and it was like a straight black station. So, yeah, all that stuff.
I guess the only thing I didn't talk about, again, something that I was really moved by in the book was the scene, the punk scene, the early L.A. scene. I loved the tendrils of, again, what L.A. was when I'm thinking about crossing the river in East L.A. and how that brought in music from Mexican culture, Latino culture, even though some of those musicians and those folks weren't exactly, I appreciated this, they weren't holding on to like the music of their parents. They were punk rockers too. And rockabilly, neo-rockabilly coming up, and you had mentioned Dave Alvin and the Blasters. And the idea that as shows, unfortunately, started getting a little more violent, different mm-hmm. people coming in to check out the scene. And was that dismaying as, you know, people are exploding in their energy and they're enjoying the shows, but you started seeing people getting hurt?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like to be the person on stage or being in the crowd yourself?
There was an inherent physicality to punk rock, whether it was the earliest days in L.A. or in any scene. So, and there was a certain danger to it because it was in odd places and not a lot of supervision. And that was good. And because everyone can make their own decision. So you had your own agency and you're making your own choices, and sometimes you got in fights because people acted out, but it was a little more self-policing and you know, that kind of thing. as it got bigger and the scene kind of developed, just numbers, like the ratio of people, even in the early days, you know, as there were like 500 instead of 200 people coming, out of 500 people, there's going to be at least two sociopaths. They're going to want to just screw things up for the fact of screwing it up and say, I screwed that up. I'm cool. So now there's 5,000 people. So there's 15 or 20 sociopaths. And then the scene starts splitting up into different factions.
That makes a lot of sense, really, though, because exponentially as crowds grow, and you're right, there's...
And the thing that you're saying about, you know, rockabilly or bands from East LA is they understood kind of song structure, whether they were getting away from what their parents listened to or not. They still had this thing of like, this is a song, and it has a chorus, and it's going to be different, but it's still going to have these elements of rebelliousness. That's why that got included into the earlier and later punk rock inspired things. And if I may, there's going to be a volume 2.
Really?
Yep. Called More Fun in the New World.
And
from 82 to 87, and it'll include other people like from Rank and File, or Chuck Dukowski from Black Flag has said he'd write his story. So yeah, part 2.
John Doe, co-founder of X, co-founder. That sounds very official, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And author of Under the Big Black Sun, A Personal History of LA Punk, and a book I cannot recommend enough. It's just an amazing journey. Thanks again for spending some time with us here on Air Check.
Yeah, good to be here.
We'll take it out with another song.
Okay. My name is John Doe, and this is Get On Board.
Gotta get on board this train. We gotta get on board this train. You might get to choose where you get on board, but we gotta get on board this train. You can choose your seat on this train. You can choose your seat on this train. You can look out the window or stand in the aisle, but you gotta get on board this train. There's all kinds of people on this train. There's all kinds of people on this train. But there's no VIP or platinum reserved, 'cause everybody's on board this train. There's a mountain stop and a straightaway. There's a water stop on a rainy day. Some people here coming from miles and miles away. Others jump from the bridge at the end of the day. But ready or not, 'cause here it comes. We gotta get on board this train. Say we gotta.